Welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Stay tuned for some announcements, some singing, and some preaching from God's Word. Good morning and welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. I'd like to welcome you all to the program this morning. It's good to have you back on board with us. We are always truly thankful for all of our listeners. And again, I appreciate all of you that, again, stop me during the week, give me a shout out saying, hey, I listen to you on Sunday mornings. And, hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate the work the Lord does in it. And, I thank you all for encouraging me, to continue on. And, I pray as always that the Lord would use, the program to, be a blessing to many and encourage the hearts of, us as believers. Again, my name is Steve Willing, and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. And our Sunday mornings begin with our worship service that starts at 10 o'clock. You are welcome to join us for our worship service. You don't have to be a member to come. You can stroll right on in there, and we've got people that will gladly meet you at the door. They'll give you information that you need, where to go, where restrooms are, and if you need any coffee or water or whatever we've got available, they'll point you in that direction too. And if you want them, they'll get it for you if you'd like. They wouldn't mind doing that at all. So we start at 10 o'clock. Our doors are open right around 9, so you can come on down if you just want to get familiar early on, but we do start our service at 10. And we start streaming via YouTube, which is Hold Fast CFBC. You can check us out there, and that streaming starts right around 10:45. We don't stream our whole service, just some of the preaching part of it. In the evening, we'll have evening worship service that starts at 6. Tonight, we will not be having our evening worship service. We'll be picking it back up next week. So we are canceled for this week. This week's evening service is canceled, but we'll be coming back next Sunday night. Tuesday evening, we have our Bible study. We've been going through the book of Ruth, and that's been outstanding. I've loved it. We've enjoyed that immensely. And that starts at 6:30 every Tuesday evening. You're welcome to come on out and join us. It's very casual. Just bring your Bible, and if you forget your Bible, we got Bibles for you. So you can fall right in there with us. We'd love to have you. And we have some snacks and stuff to eat on, and then there's the time to get questions answered that you may have. Sometimes we run down some different trails as we're discussing certain aspects or topics of the lesson, and we can kind of shift away, try to wheel it back in. But it is a time to get some questions answered, so I encourage you to come out and join us. I think you'll enjoy it very much. And again, that's Tuesday evening at 6:30. Also, we have Operation Christmas Child coming up, and Christ Fellowship Bible Church is a drop-off location in this area, and that is going to be November 13th through November 20th. That's a Monday to a Monday. So we'd love to have you become a part of Operation Christmas Child, and what that is that you pack a shoebox, and we've got shoeboxes here. You don't need to run out and get shoeboxes. We've got shoeboxes right here at the church. You can pack a box, and we have the list of things that you can put in the box. I know there's a lot of area churches that participate, so if you're a part of a church that does that, pack a box. Get a shoebox to them. And then eventually in our area, we are at drop-off location, and we were very blessed last year. We had, I can't remember the exact number, but we had close to what I believe 1,200 boxes from our local area here in the Westover, Crisfield, Marion Station, some tour over Pocomoke as well. But we were very, very blessed with the Princess Anne area, Deal Island Chance, Mount Vernon, Smith Island, Tangier. We were very, very thankful for all the boxes that we were able to pack up and send up the road. Because from us, they end up in Salisbury, and from Salisbury, they go on over to Baltimore, and from Baltimore, they're dispatched to whatever region around the world that's intended. So Operation Christmas Child is going to be November 13th, that's a Monday, to November 20th, and we've got certain times that we'll be here, some during the morning, slightly into the afternoon, others we have evening hours, but I'll be posting them up on our Facebook page and on our website, so you can check that out and become a part of that. That's a great, great ministry, especially as we start to roll right in here at Christmas time. So with all that, I've got a song here, so why don't you go ahead and grab your Bible, listen to the song, and I'll be back just in a few moments as we continue our lesson in that of the book of Joshua, that ninth chapter.
Separated me from Christ my Lord, was so vast the crossing I could never from where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me.
And that was Ellen Ann Daisy singing for us a wonderful song. When we speak about that of the work of Jesus Christ, he came to me. I was unable to go before the God of all the universe, who is holy and just and good and righteous and pure, because I am not, but the Lord himself is. So I cannot come before him in the state that I am in. But what I do see is that of Christ, the Son of God, that he comes, and he comes in a way that enables me to boldly approach the throne of grace, to have my sins washed away, and then be in a right relationship with the Lord. And that is all through the perfect work, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We turn our attention now to the book of Joshua. We go back to the Gibeonites. That's where we were last week, when we talked about how those individuals deceived Joshua. And that's where we pick up again in just these last few verses of chapter 9 of the book of Joshua, where Joshua has he's found out their deception. And he makes it very clear that they will become the slaves to Israel, because the Israelites, they wanted to just kill them. God had given the land over into their hand, and they were looking to do anything and everything they could do to make that happen. And, but they were fooled, and Israel had given their word, and in giving the word, their word, that they would have to stick to it, even though that had compromised them, even though that they should have sought the Lord to start with, but they didn't. But we pick it up in verse 29, where Joshua calls the Gibeonites to himself. Excuse me, verse 22. Then Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you dwell near us? Now therefore you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." So they answered Joshua and said, "Because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were very much afraid for our lives because of you, and have done this thing. And now, here we are, in your hands. Do with us as it seems good and right to do to us." So he did to them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, so that they did not kill them. And that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord in the place which he would choose, even to this day. So we note here that the Gibeonites had told Israel, the leaders, the elders, that they were a people that were far away, and they made themselves look like they'd been on this long journey. They were haggard. Their bread was all moldy and dried up. Their wineskin sacks were ripped and torn. They put on a good show for that of the elders of Israel. But we know that, as the scripture tells us, that they did not, Israel did not seek the Lord in this. And that was the main focus of last week's message, that we are to be people because the enemy of our souls is always looking to deceive us. He's always looking to get us into some kind of bind. But note here that Israel didn't seek the Lord. They made an agreement with the Gibeonites that, hey, it's good with us. We'll be at peace with you. But then 3 days later, they find out, you know what? These Gibeonites, they're not from a far land. They're this next city up. They are the next one that we're going to have to deal with. So Joshua calls them and says, hey, you've deceived us. And in this, that you're cursed. And why would you do such a thing? And I think this is important here. When we speak about that of the testimony of God to the world. And that is something that we as the people of God should be delivering to the face of the world all the time. And not in a arrogant, demanding way. When I say kind of in your face. But we should keep it before them. We should keep that of the message of the gospel before them all the time. And we see with the Gibeonites here, they had heard what God had done on behalf of the children of Israel. They had heard not only what God had done for them, but they also had heard what God had told Moses that was going to happen. That's where they were. We see that Joshua says, look, you're going to be cursed. You're not going to be free from being slaves. You're going to be woodcutters and water carriers. And then they answered Joshua. So they're like, you asked, why would you do such a thing? Why have you deceived us? And then they answer, they say, because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were very much afraid for our lives because of you, and we have done this thing. So noted that the message that God had instructed Israel with that affected the lives of those particular nations around them, it made an impact on their lives. And they didn't know what else to do except for what they did to deceive that of Israel, to say, we've heard about you. We're from a foreign land, way, 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 way away, even though they were basically right around the corner. And then noted that they say, here's why. Here's why we did it. Because we heard what God has done for you, and what God said he would do. And we were afraid. So we deceived you. Now, the children of Israel wanted to kill the Gibeonites because that was the instruction. But Joshua and the elders had made a vow. And we spoke heavily upon that last week as well. We keep our word. So we're not to be people of deception and trying to, we don't lie, cheat, and steal. That's not who Christians are. We just don't roll that way. It's not a part of our makeup, our spiritual makeup. Should not be at all. But what we see is Joshua saying, you know what? Got to keep the vow. And this actually will come to bite Saul, the king, later on in history with the Gibeonites. And then it will become actually, because of Saul's breaking this vow that the nation of Israel had made with the Gibeonites, it also comes to be a pain for David, the king, as well. And that'll be something that we can discuss at some other point. But note here this morning, when we read what we see here with the message that was given to them, they understood that this whole thing with Israel, where we've watched what God has done on their behalf, and they were extremely, extremely fearful of what was going on. They knew that this was not looking good for them. So they conjure up this tale. They run it before Joshua and the leadership. They buy it, and there they are. There they are. And they admit it. They're like, hey, this is the reason why you do, and that's what we see next. In verse 25, and it says, now here we are in your hands. Do with us as it seems good and right to do to us. And fortunately, that when we see the honor, even though that these Gibeonites were deceiving people, that we note that they trusted in the honor of which Israel, thankfully, would display, that they made an agreement and they stuck to the agreement. Now, Joshua was able to say, hey, we don't have to destroy you, but here's something else that's going to happen. You're just going to become the slaves to us. You're going to be our wood carriers and water carriers, wood cutters and wood carriers for the house, for the children of Israel and the house of God. And they had no problem with that. And as a matter of fact, it tells us in that little bit at the end, it says, even to this day, that's what was going on when Joshua was written. Those things continued on. And the Gibeonites themselves would actually have to rely on Israel as an ally. Because following up, which we'll get into next week in chapter 10, what we see is that now that the Gibeonites have made peace, these other surrounding cities and areas look at Gibeon as being traitors, and then they decide that what they're going to do is attack the Gibeonites. They're going to attack Gibeon. And in doing so, that then the Gibeonites have to call upon Israel to step in and be a help to them. And they actually do. They step in and defend that of the Gibeonites. But what can we take away from the lesson today? What's a takeaway for us when we see this happening, you know, millennia ago? And what can we take away for us? Well, there's a few things, and a few of which we covered last week when we talked about that. Look, we don't want to be liars and cheats and sneaks. We want to be honest. We certainly can take that away. We also can think about when we do make vows that we want to keep our vows. We want to be such as Israel when we have made a vow, even though it may have not worked out in the long run as being advantageous for us, but we want to see it through. We want to honor God in that. We want to be trustworthy in giving our word. But one of the things I do want to point out here today is what we see with the Gibeonites and the message of which they heard, and they were able to just literally see with their eyes. They watched God move. And I think for us as Christians, friends, that is something that we should long for. And it's not in the new covenant, the church era of which we leave, this dispensation of which we live in, that we're looking to remove anybody from any of their land holdings. We're not looking to, as some in certain sects of Christendom, look at some kind of dominionism. But what we do is look to live for God in such a way that God is going to be honored and glorified. That the message of which we carry, which is that there is a kingdom to come, not some kind of when we speak about just some kind of a spiritual happiness, you know, some kind of little buzz that we get for going to church. But God is that of the judge of all the earth, and the judge of all the earth will do right. This is all his creation. You know, man himself, we've propped ourselves up in such a way that we think this is just all about us. Everything's about me. And that's very clear. We see that all the time. But note it is not about us. It's not all about us. It's all about God. We look to serve Him. We look to honor Him. We, today as the Christians, we are the woodcutters. We're the water carriers. We're God's servants to honor Him, to be a blessing to the Lord God, with the hope that in our service to God, we do what is right and true. When we walk faithfully with God, we would put others before our own selves. We would look to sacrifice, and we would look to make those decisions that are honest and good and loyal. We keep our vows, and we do these things that those around us would see, and they too would fear. And when I say that, not fearful of us, not fearful for what we would do to them. As Christians, we're not looking to do anything to them. We're not looking to bring them any harm. We're hoping that they will fear God, that something will move in their being and see that there is a God to be feared. What can man do to me? Jesus said this. What can man do to us? What's the worst he can do? Kill us? You know, torture us and then torture us and then we die? Jesus said, don't fear man. All he can do is kill the body, but fear him who's not only able to kill the body, but cast the soul into hell. Him you should fear. Worry about man. Fear God. And friends, that is something that we would hope people that would come to realize, that we want to live our lives in such a way that it's God honoring, that it blesses His name. And with that let our good works be known. Let us do those good things, seeing God operating among His people, that in turn, the people of this world would say, you know, there's something about these Christians. I may not agree. I may not like it, but there's something about them. Because oftentimes that as Christians, we certainly, because of the stands we do make for and against things, sometimes we're, you know, put in a box, and people say a lot of things that aren't true. Sometimes they are. But noted that all in all, that we want to honor our God in heaven, that people would see. And they too, just as Jesus said, that we would so honor God that they would see our good works. People in the world would see our good works. And then they would look to glorify the Father which is in heaven. I pray today that we do exactly that, that we live our lives in such obedience to the Lord that people would turn and they would look to make covenant with God, not with us, but they would look to make a covenant with God. And that has been ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the new covenant. For those that will believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My name is Steve Willing, and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. If you would like to contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, please feel free to call 443-235-3618. Drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. Also, you can go to our website, which is cfbc413.org. That's cfbc413.org. You can get our Facebook page there, our podcast, our YouTube channel, all of it right there. But once again, thank you for tuning in this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. God bless.